This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
And now joining us with our pre-opening commodity market report here on AM 580 is our Director of Agriculture Programming, Dave Dickey. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Large supplies of slaughter-ready animals, along with a sluggish movement of pork this week, are weighing on the cash hog market today. Terminals are called steady to lower, with top prices from $46 to $49. Peoria is called steady to lower today, with a top price of $46. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, June 10th, negotiated swine purchases were 14,284 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $65 to $72. The weighted average, $70.35. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $50.74 to $59.33. The weighted average, $56.61. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 19,595. The base price range, $64 to $75.71. The weighted average, $72.08. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.45 to $58.75, and the weighted average was $55.35. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. I wish I had some good news to share, but I really don't. It appears that more problems are in store for the Midwest. We're already seeing a cluster of heavy rain and thunderstorms in the upper Midwest. Rain is falling right now, and some of it heavy over southwestern Minnesota, western Iowa, and northwestern Missouri, and the rain has really been sitting in that area for a while, so some of the upper Midwest is getting soaked. Now, the computer models all suggest that this area is going to shift eastward, as one would expect, and the heavy rain is going to move across much of Iowa here during the next 24 hours, and some areas in Iowa are already in severe flood. And any additional rainfall is just going to aggravate an already dire situation there. And unfortunately, we're looking at the potential of some very big problems around the Cedar Falls, Iowa area, for example. Some of this heavy rain is also going to tomorrow push into Wisconsin, and it appears, according to some computer models, that the rainfall across the state of Wisconsin tomorrow could be on the heavy side. Now, showers and thunderstorms will work into the lower Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio tomorrow night into Friday and Friday evening, and the models are not consistent in resolving the rainfall amounts. They are putting down some locally heavy amounts here and there, but some of that may be what we call convective feedback in the model, so sometimes the models overdo certain areas. But the point is, we are going to have some thunderstorms in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, and southern lower Michigan as we go into Friday and Friday evening. So that does set up the potential for at least some pockets of locally heavy rainfall. The other problem we have with this is anytime we have a weather system coming through and it's there's the lifting of air that cools, condenses, and makes the clouds and the showers. If there's a lot of water sitting in the fields, it evaporates. That's more humidity in the air that can be used as the fuel for showers and thunderstorms. So that can lead to an increase in the amount of water that falls from the storms that pass by. So sometimes floods feed on themselves. So we're looking basically at a weather pattern that's still, for this week, featuring some more rain. It's a good thing that we're going to have some dry weather across Illinois and Indiana again today and tonight and in many areas through the daylight hours tomorrow before the next chance of rain, so we can get water levels down just a little bit more before we have some problems. But as far as field access, in some places it's not looking good for a while yet because of the additional rain that's coming in. And the models also indicate that there's a chance of some showers and thunderstorms working across the area early next week around Monday. Then high pressure should build in for at least a couple of days. But then as we get into the latter part of next week, we get into a southerly flow, and that could lead to more at least scattered showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures, generally speaking, are going to be warm. There may be a few days, such as what we had yesterday, where we get a brief respite from the heat and humidity. But generally speaking, temperatures are going to be remaining on the warm side here for the foreseeable future. So at least for crops that aren't flooded out and have emerged well, there will still be rapid growth because we aren't expecting any cool temperatures in the area, nor are we expecting excessive heat in the high 90s or low 100s. That's not expected either. So we look southward. The Delta at times may get some rain as we go into the weekend, but they're still rather dry. In the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, the northern belt continues to see showers and thunderstorms moving through. The southern belt a bit drier overall for harvest operations. And the northern plains spring wheat belt staying plenty wet with weather systems coming through every few days. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 847.5, up one last trade, up 10.5. September 859.75, down 1.25, last trade up 7.25. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 810.25, up 1.25, last trade up 8. December 850, up 1, last trade up 9. July corn opened at 674, up 3/4, last trade up 10.25. December 703, up 1/4, last trade up 10.5. Take it out to next July, 725, down 1.25, last trade up 8.5. July beans opened at 1453.5, up 7, last trade up 16.5. November, 1446.25, up 5.25, last trade up 12. Next July, 1480, up 8, last trade up 18. July soybean meal opened at 379, up 50, last trade up a dollar. July soybean oil opened at 62.65, unchanged, last trade up 94. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave.
In our weekend newsletter, and by the way, you can subscribe to that newsletter on our website at WILLAG.org. It's free, but anyway, in the weekend newsletter, we talked about an upside objective in December corn futures at 718.75 last Friday. Well, overnight we're at 716, so we're going to have to rip all that up and start over again. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, looking at the technicals this morning, and when you explode into new highs, Dave, you know, it gets really hard to project where we're going to go. But, you know, you certainly have targets at 723 for December from what the charts are showing, 695 on the old crop July. Look for some profit taking to happen up here. So whether you're talking 718 or 723, you know, I think we all know that that's close enough that, you know, after this morning's run up, it would not surprise us to see a little pullback. You know, the overnights were good and strong, but, you know, 7.25 area probably ought to hold to December. You might see a pullback into that 680 to 690 area on the D's, so 30 or 40 cents, but just don't look for a big one. You know, analysts are out here. The number we've heard from phone calls this week, Dave, is $8 corn, $18 soybeans. And I agree with others that have said in order for that to happen, we're going to have to see a couple million acre decrease in corn acreage in the June 30th report. And we'll probably even have to see the government, you know, which lowered the yield by 5 bushels in yesterday's report. We have to start seeing that number come down, I think, to start talking $8 corn.
Well, I guess if you look at it, there's nothing in the price action suggesting that the run to the top is anywhere near being over.
I know. That's just it. Even though the targets on the charts are so showing right here in this area of somewhere in the 720 ballpark, you're right. There is nothing. I mean, you look back at what happened in the wheat market. We ran to $20. There was no indication that that needed to happen, but it certainly did. And with the strength in crude oil, it's awful hard to think that you're going to see a big pullback in corn. But again, you know, we've come to this area so quickly, Dave, and obviously the purpose of this rally is to ration usage. And then does the market need to say, we need to give this market time to understand if we are rationing here, are we rationing at 7.25, do we ration at 8, you know, where is that level? So don't be surprised, you know, to see this run kind of, you know, maybe stall out a little bit in this area. But, you know, unpredictability has dominated for months in the commodity market.
So if that be the case, then in beans, do we see a trading affair between $14 and $15 for a while?
Yes. Now, don't be surprised if we go test those March highs of $15.50 at all. Again, that one could be a little bit more of a sleeper there, even though we have a potential of picking up more acres because we're going to have some corn acres that didn't get in, maybe have farmers tearing up some spot acres here and there that are in corn and go to soybeans. You know, you got to think with this late planted on the beans and the wet conditions that the yields are going to come down there, and potentially even the acres will. But it's you know, it's a month delay for the government reacting to that in soybeans. So again, there's probably some quiet strength left in the soybean market, maybe pushes to 1550, but you certainly feel like 14 and a quarter would hold the bottom side.
Thank you much, Ed.
You bet, Dave. Thanks.
Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.